When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined by producer Joel.
Hey Mark, how are you?
Hey Joel, I'm all right, thanks very much. I'm good. So you were a bit stressed out earlier. You've put
just
it back one half
of those,
hour.
Just one of those stressful days, but seeing your face has really calmed me down.
Has it? I put some good lighting in.
I can tell, you're really putting me to shame.
Well, you know, everyone has good days and bad days, didn't they, Joel?
Yeah, and some people have a ring light and I'm just going au naturel.
Have you not got a ring light?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, everyone's got a ring light.
Everyone's got a ring light, haven't they?
Yeah, of course.
I would say more and more calls and things that I join, people are just looking better and better and maybe it's time for me to
You've got to invest. They
do
don't cost
about
much,
it.
Mate. They're like 15 quid something, I think. I mean, I have just, I don't know.
I might get three.
That's a guess. I don't think they're free, mate. You have to pay for them.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Good start.
And that's the sort of humour that's going to calm me down.
Joel, Mark. What's been happening this week? You had a nice week?
Yeah, I've had a pretty good week, thanks, mate. It's been busy. But,
yeah, I've been
busy
as well, actually.
Getting by. What have you been up to, mate?
What have I been up to? What haven't I been up to, mate? I've had a few gigs, Zoom gigs.
Nice.
I've been there. I've been working with a few people on their acts. Some people got in touch, and so I've been doing that.
Nice.
It's been good fun. What else has been happening? What's nice is there's proper gigs starting to come in.
Yeah.
And so the diary's got some proper in person, mate. Some mostly outdoor, but still proper gigs.
A good sign. A sign of things to come.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. You know what? I don't think there's much else really been happening, to be honest, Joel. It's just been... That's the trouble at the moment. It's all the same, isn't it?
It's been that way for a year, Mark.
I know, but normally I've done something that I could talk about. The sheep have had their lambs. They're in the field.
That's good.
Yeah, it's nice actually.
They're
at the stage where they're all just all the lambs are walking very close to their mums at the moment. It's quite sweet.
Mm. Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah. And you've been a bit born.
You've been a bit like that in lockdown, haven't you? I have actually seen a lamb be born. Yeah.
But I haven't been sort of walking around next to my mum for the whole time. I've just been living at this place for third lockdown. did you say you have seen the lamb?
Yeah, I have. I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it more than once.
It's horrific, isn't it?
It's pretty full on, yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of gunk.
There's so much gunk.
Oh, yeah.
It's like being on Get Your Own Back.
I didn't see those ones get born. They get taken off and then they come back again once
they're
get cleaned
up. Little jet wash.
Yeah.
What's that, Mark? Next to you is what looks like a chair. And there's something red hanging over it and I can't work out what it is. It looks like... it could be a cable, or it could be a resistance band.
What cable do you reckon that is, Joel?
Your microphone is.
Yeah, the one I've got right by my face.
Oh, okay. So the problem is, in terms of the perspective, maybe this is the magic of the ring light. It looks quite far away from you. So I didn't know what it was. Yeah,
I can't reach it. No, it's there. It's right there, Joel. Look.
Oh, good. There it is.
Magic. No one else can see this. This is boring, Joel. This is boring. Pick it up, Joel. What can we talk about before we start the podcast properly?
What can we talk about before we start the podcast?
Line of Duty.
Properly.
Did you watch it?
I'm not a Line of Duty guy. I've tried to get into it before. I feel like I'm the only person in
I've
the
basically binged all of them in a week.
Yeah. Are they good?
Because I'd never heard of it. I'd never watched.
Is that because it doesn't have a karate man in it?
I never had.
Or a wrestler.
I never watch TV normally because I'm on the road.
Unless so... it's the Royal Rumble.
Joel, why are you saying it like that? There's nothing wrong with liking professional wrestling.
Why did you have to say professional?
Because wrestling is slightly different.
What? In what way?
Well, amateur wrestling is a real? Competitive. Don't use the R word and the F word.
I will use the F word in a minute, mate.
You better not use that F word. It's Joel, we can't go into this now.
Why not?
It's art. It's not. Oh, it's fake fighting. It's more than that.
I know. It's a lovely choreographed performance.
People don't understand it if you don't like it. So if you don't like it, you don't understand it, shut up.
Who's your favourite wrestler?
I don't know, Joel. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not a geek.
You are a geek. I've been to see the wrestling with you.
What?
We've been to see the wrestling.
Did you? What?
We went to the O2 and watched the wrestling, and you brought your pal, Sean Walsh.
Oh, I forgot you were... Because that wasn't you that sorted that, was it? That was our friend Cornelius.
It was.
And we were in a box. That was
really
fun.
We were in
a
box, yeah.
That was cool. I forgot you were there. That was before we were doing the podcast, Joe.
It was, yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, it was exciting. And you and Sean really got into it, and you knew all the chants. You were doing all the clapping.
No, we weren't.
You were. Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
All the claps.
Booing John Cena or something. I don't know. You knew all the stuff. You were shouting stuff out.
I was not shouting. I did. No.
You're wearing that big fake belt. It was really embarrassing, I thought. A leotard.
One of those big hands with a pointy finger.
Yeah, you have one of those. I thought it was a bit pathetic, but... There we go.
I'd just like to make it clear that I was not doing any of those things. But it was a fun day, wasn't it, Joel?
It was fun, wasn't it? I think it was it Monday Night Raw? And what I really liked about it is that they'd put a black cab and a phone box next to the ring to really drill home the point they're in London doing it, which was quite
fun. It wasn't next to the ring. It was actually next to the entrance. Actually, it'd be dangerous to have it next to the ring. So
Yeah, because you're right. They don't want anything dangerous in wrestling because it is fake. Mate, you put yourself in that one.
You can't say that out.
You can't say having something next to the ring, you can't have it because it's dangerous in a sport where they're pretending to nearly kill each other.
Joel, I was being humorous on a podcast called Jokes.
You absolutely were not. You refused to joke about wrestling.
What did you say?
You refused to joke about wrestling because it's art.
I've got lots of wrestling jokes. I tried to organise... wrestling with my friends, but I had trouble pinning him down. Yeah, the Royal Rumble, it's over the top. You got wrestling jokes, I got wrestling jokes coming out of my ass. Joel, who have we got on this week?
We've got the excellent Tom Lucy.
Oh, it's Tom Lucy.
It is.
Ah, for the second time officially on this podcast.
Yeah.
Ah, that's good.
That makes him a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show. Enjoyed this one, and I hope you do too. Here he is.
We've had some really good guests, actually. We've had, like, because me and Maisie said to them, we don't just want comedians because it feels a little bit like...
Every podcast.
A little bit unimaginative to just have comedians. So we've had, like, the Hairy Bikers. We had Chris Kamara, AJ and Curtis Pritchard. So we've had, like, a really nice mix of guests, which has been quite nice.
Yeah, that makes you stand out from the other comedy podcasts. Like this one.
I think so. Also, just for us, like, it's quite fun
if
for
I get
us
the Hairy Bikers on and go, so, tell me some jokes that didn't work.
I made a joke to the Hairy Bikers that they didn't really like. Shall I tell you the joke?
Yeah. This is perfect. That is on point. Yeah. What is it?
Okay. Shall I say, are we recording?
Yeah, this is recording.
Okay, so we were interviewing the Hairy Bikers and they're famous for making, like, travel programs where they travel around the world cooking. And I said to them, because I thought it would be a nice way to, like, break the ice, because I've never met them before, and it was on a Zoom call. I said, oh, I was thinking earlier, you should do a travel series where you go around Australia, you could call it Hairy Down Under. And and because it was on a Zoom call, it kind of crackled a bit when I said the punchline. And one of the hairy bikers went, sorry, mate, what was that?
Oh,
and
no,
I had to repeat the punchline.
No.
And then they both sort of looked at it like, oh, yeah, we've heard that loads of times. And I was like, oh, fuck it up. And then we had to start the interview.
I'm surprised they've heard that loads of times.
Yeah, they looked at me like they'd heard that before.
That's brilliant.
But when I thought of it, I was like, oh, this is gold. This will be great.
Did that start the interview off a bit awkward?
Yeah, but we cut it out, so you can't hear it on the podcast.
You can now. Exclusive.
Because I said to our producer, I'll maybe just cut that, because it makes it sound like I'm being a bit of a dick. Because it probably would have been okay if it was like 20 minutes into the chat, but it was right at the beginning.
And also, it is a bit weird. Like, if you'd done that on a TV show and they were there and there was a live audience, the audience would have laughed, yeah, and it would have made it fine. But on a Zoom call, it's a bit weird just cracking a joke to someone.
I don't know. I've kind of given up trying to make jokes on Zoom calls, because every time I try and do the punchline, my Wi-Fi goes. It's like I'm being heckled by Virgin Media. But every time because sometimes on like Zoom meetings or something, I don't know if you feel this pressure, but like even in meetings with people, because I'm a comedian, I feel a certain amount of pressure to like at some point in the meeting make everyone laugh. So I will like at some point try and say something funny, but I've given up now because it never works. It always cuts off and I've got to repeat it, and then no one understands what I'm saying.
Yeah, I've had that loads. I have had just in conversations with people in real life.
I know.
It's when they no sell it. Which is the worst thing. They don't even acknowledge it.
I know, but I don't know, because I think there is an element as a comedian who's not like, you know, one of the biggest names in the world. When you're meeting a production company or someone important,
you want to convince them.
You are kind of selling yourself.
Yeah.
And you are trying to make them like you. And there is an element of like performance, even though it's a meeting. Do you know what I mean? There is an element of like...
You don't
yourself,
want them going so, away thinking, oh, it's a bit dull, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's fucking boring. So there is a bit of that, but it's so hard over Zoom.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway. Have you had any other mishaps on your podcast? It's a nice little way to plug your podcast at the start of the show.
Yeah, we've interviewed a few people we've never met before. And before we start the podcast, a couple of times whoever we've interviewed has said to me, oh, by the way, you were really funny on so-and-so. And they've never recognised Maisie. And a couple of the times they've assumed Maisie was the producer.
Oh, really?
They've said something like, oh, Maisie, does this sound all right? And she's had to go, oh, no, I'm not the producer.
Have you kept that in, that stuff?
No, that's all the like pre-chat. But
that's so funny.
Maisie gets really pissed off because no one ever knows.
Maybe because she sort of takes charge. People just think she's... an organizer.
Yeah, she's got a lot more natural authority than I have.
Yeah, there's no way you're the producer.
No,
that doesn't even come into question.
I don't give off a producer vibe. I'm either the work experience or the host.
Oh, that's cool. So you've done a few online gigs and that. I haven't spoke to you on the podcast since online gigs. Does it work for you?
It's okay. I kind of I avoided them for quite a long time, to be honest, because people started doing them basically from the beginning of the first lockdown, didn't they?
Yeah.
Back in March. I don't think I did one probably till like July of last year. So.
Oh, really?
I went like 4 or 5 months without doing any, because I didn't like the sound of them and I assumed that it wouldn't work.
Same. I assumed you wouldn't work on them.
Yeah,
I told everyone.
And then I
don't book Tom.
And then I did work. One.
He keeps trying to make jokes all the time. It's so awkward.
I mean, his act doesn't work on stage. How's it going to work on a Zoom call? So I avoided it for ages, and then I did a charity one because I do. You know, I do a lot for charity. I don't like to talk about it. But I did
one of your charity things.
You did,
didn't I? At the comedy store?
Yeah, you did. I'm always doing charity stuff.
Oh, did you or did I have to pull out of it? Because I found out it was charity.
You pulled out because John wasn't paying.
Well, no fee.
So you pulled out.
But no, I did do a charity one with you at the store. But I don't know if that wasn't
probably
that wasn't your. It might have been. I don't know. But yeah.
No, that's right. I've only ever booked one charity gig at the Comedy Store, and I asked you to do it, and then you couldn't do it in the end.
Yeah, so
but you missed out on a cracking night.
Yeah, I know. I was really annoyed. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. I think I was.
It was for Bernardo's.
Oh, the gig. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I pulled out. I can't remember.
Oh, you pulled out because you double booked yourself.
Yeah, I think I was doing like a gig for the homeless or something.
a rival charity.
Yeah.
You had to quickly decide whether you cared more about sick kids or homeless people. And you went for homeless.
Yeah, well, you know, those sick kids could end up homeless.
True. If there was a gig for sick homeless kids,
we could do a double act.
We would co-host it together.
Yeah. So have you been like trying stuff out at Zoom gigs, or have you just been doing anything you think that might work from your?
So basically, the only way I can make the Zoom gigs work, because I did a couple where I was doing material. And it just completely didn't work, and I felt too awkward.
Oh, right.
I wasn't really selling it properly. I felt awkward. I think they sensed that, and it just didn't work. And then I did one where I just spent the whole gig just sort of taking the piss out of people's houses and chatting to people. And because it's almost easier to do crowd work on a Zoom
gig
than a gig.
Go on then, take the piss out of mine.
Well, but it is quite easy I mean, you do have a weird decor in wherever you are.
Biggly, biggly, biggly. No one can see that.
I just quite like seeing in people's houses.
Yeah.
So, I would just do that. And then I did a bunch of online gigs around Christmas, and I just took the piss out of people, and it was fine.
Oh, good as gold, mate. Good as gold.
But that's not material, is it? So no. You leave the gig feeling a little bit like,
well, you know what,
you haven't
I think I'm lucky because I do a joke, they laugh, I do a joke, they laugh. But acts like you that are like more kind of a natural conversation, you get laughs as you go. So what happens with Zoom is when they laugh, the sound goes to them. So then whatever you're saying then gets quieter and then they miss bits. So I think it is hard to do material.
Well, I think you're probably like the perfect act for Zoom.
Ah, thanks, mate. That's like saying you've got a face for radio.
I think you should just keep doing Zoom, even when things go back to normal.
I'd love, you just mate, keep I doing would love Zoom. To carry on doing some Zoom. It's great. You do a gig and you're at home. You don't pay for petrol. I think I'm sold on it. I like it. He's bloody gone again. There he is.
Sorry. Is that a problem? It's not stopping the recording, is
no,
it?
No, it'll be fine. We can edit it about. It's just I just keep saying things, and I keep thinking you're no selling me. You're just staring at me, not moving.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I can't remember, mate. They heard it. It'll be fine.
I was saying you're the perfect act for Zoom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I said I'd love to carry on doing Zoom gigs afterwards because...
Do you not think, is there not... You must have talked about this with other comedians already, but is there not an element of you that thinks when everything does go back to normal, the idea of, like, driving to Exeter to do a gig now is, like, fucking... insane.
Yeah, because
I'm so used to just doing everything from the living room.
There's that element. Now, you know what, I do like traveling about. That's part of I like being an on the road comic. I like doing that stuff. But it's more like the amount of money, because I was doing my tax return, and the amount of money I spend on petrol and snacks and food when you're out, and I had all those expenses. But now this year I've got no expenses at all.
Yeah.
And you just forget how much you actually do spend on that stuff.
Like, I know.
Like Exeter, that's a long way.
Well, we've done Exeter together. It's fucking miles away.
We did. We did the Christmas gig.
We did that weird Christmas gig.
Yeah, well, that's, weird
I think
as well.
That was when we sort of became mates, wasn't it?
Yeah, it all kicked off.
We bonded over that weird fight.
I mean, we can't go into detail about what who was involved in it, but there was an act on stage and it all went mental.
It was probably, like, to this day, one of the most like mental gigs I've been at.
And we were just standing there not knowing what to do, because it was like, it got aggressive. Half the audience left.
I think I don't know about you, but I was pretty new at the time, so I was like, completely did not know what to do.
You were crying.
I was in tears.
Yeah, I had to console you.
You had to hold me.
I was going to try and break it all up, but you were just grabbing onto my leg, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with Tom. It's an off the curb act. You're with off the curb. I'm going to have to look after their new up and coming superstar.
I know. Well, I think I must have been 8 or 9 years old. I was young.
So it's cool.
But yeah, I mean, does it worry you? Obviously, like, we miss doing stand up, but does it worry you, or the fact that we're going to have to go back to that life of traveling a lot? And
no.
Did you love all that?
Because
the only bit that I love is being on stage. All the other stuff I find like a massive upheaval.
I loved it since moving to London, because I'd have a load of gigs in London, and then I'd have some travelling ones. Whereas when I was living in Kent, I'd always be travelling. Even if I was in London, that's travelling.
Yeah.
So I quite like the mixture now.
So when you were living in Kent, were you in the car going somewhere far, like 5 nights a week?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that not quite exhausting?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really think about it at the time. But when moving to London, then you realise, oh, I've actually got a bit more time to myself now that I don't have to go to the gig until 7.
You see, I used to be, when I first started, I used to be like that. Well, I used to be like 5 or even like 6 or 7 nights a week, you know, like Monday in Leeds, Tuesday in Brighton, Wednesday in Manchester. Like, literally all, there was no like planning at all. It was just all over the country.
Yeah.
And I used to love it. And it didn't even cross my mind that it was a weird thing to be doing. Mm. And now the idea of doing that, I'd be like, I'm not doing that. I don't know. Cause I just think maybe you just get a bit kind of, the excitement of the travel is worn off now.
Yeah.
It used to be quite exciting to like go to Manchester or go to Glasgow or something. And now I like the gig. I like being on stage and I like doing the show, but I don't really get excited about like spending the weekend in Glasgow or.
Cause you're just used to being at home now. It's like you're retired.
I do feel like I've retired.
Yeah. You're used to it now and you just want to do your garden.
I just like it. I like the fact that I never have to go anywhere. I don't know. It worries me a little bit.
I feel like I need to get out and do stuff. I don't know.
But at least if I leave my house, I live in like almost the middle of London. So if I leave my house, there's loads of stuff outside. Where you are, you leave the house, there's nothing.
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you go for a walk, you get to see stuff. I just see the same sheep every day.
And who are you? I don't want to turn this into a Zoom therapy call. Who are you? Are you living on your own?
I'm with my mum and my stepdad at the moment in Kent. I moved back.
Oh, okay.
Just till it all sort of blows over, and then I'll be back into London.
Well, that's good. I thought you were going to say you're on your own. That's good.
No.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, the podcast.
Sorry, let's get into the podcast.
Well, we're into the podcast, but we've got to talk about some jokes.
I did. I must have done one of the first ever episodes of this podcast.
Well, you've done 2.
But you remember, haven't officially the done first 2. One I did was one of the first ones.
It was in the first one you did was in the first incarnation, I think, which was Jokes Not In My Show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So that was just recorded on my phone, like for 10 minutes or whatever.
I remember doing it in a hotel lobby in Liverpool.
After a gig, yeah. Oh, was that Liverpool?
Oh, me, you and Sean Walsh did Liverpool Uni.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's when we bonded, I think. That's when we first properly hung out, I think. And then...
And I remember being really, like, shocked that Sean Walsh was doing a university gig.
Oh, really?
Because I thought he was, like, far too big to be doing uni gigs. And I remember saying to him, why are you doing this gig? And he looked at me in that way that he looks at people who he thinks are idiots. And he was like, because it's my job. What do you mean, why am I here? It's my job. And I felt like such a fucking idiot. I just assumed he was too big for it.
Yeah, but I suppose when you start, you don't know about, like, all the big names have to come back to the clubs eventually because they have to work on jokes and for their new shows and everything. But when you're new, you just assume Michael McIntyre will never, ever do a comedy club again.
No. Yeah.
But so we did that one. And then you did one of the first ones of the official jokes podcast.
And that was in Edinburgh, I think.
Was it?
I think it was during the festival.
Didn't you come into the studio at Acast?
And I've done that as well. So I must have done three.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I remember sitting in your
three,
flat
we don't
in
need
Edinburgh.
To do this. Right, I'll see you later.
Because I remember sitting in your flat in Edinburgh and doing one.
Did you?
Or maybe you didn't put that out because it was too bad.
I don't know, mate. I don't know. But anyway, so it's been a while since you've done... You've definitely done another show since you recorded it, the last one. So so have you got some bits that you had to ditch that you couldn't get to work?
Well, listen, what I thought we could do, because all that show, the last show I did, feels like such a long time ago.
Mm.
I thought I could go through some bits that...
current ideas?
Current ideas.
Ah, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do that.
Is that all right? I mean,
no,
we
mate,
can do old
can do
stuff if
you
want.
Like.
You
could do new stuff and tell me it's old stuff.
I make notes on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I quite like the idea of having an actual notebook, but I think I'd lose it, so...
Yeah, there is something about having a notebook that...
Do you have a notebook?
I've got loads everywhere. And yeah. I always write notes on my phone, but when I write it, there's something about writing the ideas down in a notebook that, I don't know, artistically, it gets my brain working better.
It's quite romantic as well, isn't it?
Yeah. If I go to a cafe, I'd much rather have a notepad and write with a pen. And then later on, I'll then transfer the better ideas onto my laptop.
Yeah.
But I love having a notepad. I don't know why that is. But then when I started comedy, I didn't have a laptop or anything like that. I didn't need one because I left uni and then I had a regular job and I didn't need a laptop.
Yeah.
Like, why would I need a laptop? So I think I had an iPad before I had a laptop. And then I started doing comedy and I got myself.
I've always used I've never really written stuff down in by hand. I've always
even at school.
Typed
I don't expect you're so young.
Probably, yeah. I've always typed it.
So, what have you got in your phone?
Okay, let's go through the phone.
Are you just going, these are just ideas you've just written down and you haven't done anything with yet?
A couple of them I have tried.
Okay, tell us about those.
Okay.
You've tried these on Zoom? Or did you do them in the...
I've tried a couple of these on Zoom. And if you like doing material that works is hard on Zoom, let alone doing new material.
It's hard because you know it works. You just lose confidence in it straight away. So,
I'm the worst at losing confidence. I lose confidence so easily. So I thought I had this idea about I find it quite impressive when somebody does something so bad or they live a life that is so bad that their name gets taken out of circulation because they've had such a bad life.
Yeah.
So the obvious example is obviously Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Who had such a bad life that there are now no more Adolfs.
But isn't that funny? I've never heard of a Hitler either. Do you know what I mean?
No,
so
but there
are... how do you lose a surname out of circulation?
Well, there's two stages of it, isn't there? There's one where you have a life so bad that they take your surname out of circulation. And then there's a level above that where it's so bad they take your first name out of circulation. So the obvious one is obviously Adolf Hitler, where both names were taken out of circulation. You don't hear any more Adolfs or any more Hitlers anymore.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to think of modern examples of it. So for me, Harvey Weinstein might be, I don't think there'll be any more Harveys.
Don't you?
Because I think that whenever someone hears the word Harvey, they now immediately think Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
So I think that the name Harvey ends now.
So you're calling
Harvey
it
Weinstein.
Now.
I just think there's a funny idea about, there's something in that that people have had, they've lived such a bad life that they end their name forever.
What, have you got any, I think, like, have you got other examples of old ones as well? I feel like if you had a few examples of the history ones, because the Hitler one is good. What else has never been, because I, when you were telling
Genghis
me...
Genghis Khan, no more Genghises.
I don't think there ever were there?
Genghis Khan.
I mean, like, it's definitely
Khan. I think there's something funny in there being two stages to it. So, like, kind of taking your surname out is one thing, but taking the first name out is another level.
Yeah, yeah, that is funny. I'll be fine. Is there anyone that's like that for a joke purpose that you could get wrong? So, like, that isn't even a real name. So, for example, like Jack the Ripper. So, I haven't heard anyone with the surname Ripper. Do you know what I mean? So it's not a real surname. So I don't know if there's anything like.
Yeah.
What other famous like murderers are there that had, nicknames?
Fred West or
no? I think they still make tuna, don't they?
Who's like a Jeffrey Epstein might be a modern version.
Jeffrey, isn't it funny? But then no, because those people. Epstein, awful man, terrible. I am not in the slightest saying he's not awful, but he's not Hitler.
Sounds like you are.
He's not Hitler.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So that's like a different level, isn't it? Like, do you think has anyone since Hitler been as bad as Hitler?
Well, no, well,
Mugabe?
Interestingly,
I don't know what Mugabe is about.
Yeah, but there's loads of Robs. My dad's a Rob.
Oh yeah. But he was named since then.
Pol Pot.
Yeah, he won the Britain's Got Talent. Didn't he?
I think he was worse than Hitler in terms of deaths. Chairman Mao, I think, was the worst.
You hadn't heard any chairmans.
No more chairmans.
Actually, there is one up at my local sports and social club.
I mean, you
could do something with that as like, because then you could go, you know, there's loads of them. There's Chairman Mao. You don't hear many chairmans about. And then, do you know what I mean? There could be something. I reckon there's quite a lot you could do with this concept.
But there's also the other interesting thing is that people can also live a life that's so impressive and so good that they also take the name out of circulation. So, for example, Adele or Kylie, I don't think there's many people naming their kids Kylie because everyone immediately thinks of Kylie Minogue.
Right.
So she's essentially taken that name out. She's Adele. But
Adele wasn't that popular a name anyway, was it? Like, there is a comedian called Adele.
Elvis?
Elvis, that's true. I don't think there's many Elvis. But then some people name their kids after those people, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose it falls down a bit there.
That's the trouble, mate, with me. I just go logic and like
you've
just totally ruined
too much logic.
Totally ruined the vibe. yeah
you should move to Germany.
There's no one naming anyone after Hitler. But also with Adolf, was that a popular name anyway? Like,
well, I think it was
like
at the time.
Like I was it because I think how you Tom is such like a popular regular name. You would have to be worse than Hitler to lose Tom.
Imagine what I'd have to do to take Tom out.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? That's
yeah. I think what I'd have to do to take Tom out.
I think if you mirrored Hitler,
I think there'd still be Toms.
Yeah, I think so. So that's a good bit. I like that. That's a good idea for a bit. So what happened when you've tried that? Did you try it on a Zoom or a normal gig?
I remember trying it on a Zoom and it's still, I would normally kind of work an idea up a bit more than that before I tried it.
Mm.
I literally just tried it just as if I was just chatting to a mate about it. And it kind of got like a few laughs. People were kind of into the idea of it, but I just hadn't really worked it out enough.
Yeah.
But I got the sense that if I did work it out and write it up, it could become something.
And I feel like it's a sort of thing, like, sometimes if you talk about Hitler and all that stuff, it can be a bit uncomfortable, but I feel like that's an angle you can go at that you wouldn't need to worry about. I think that's a good...
Well, I think a funny angle, maybe the funniest way of approaching it would be, like you say, to go, what would I have to do to take my name out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you could talk to other people in the audiences and you could sort of go by their name and like what level of... What level they would have to go to get their name out of circulation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. I mean, there's people like Boris Johnson. I mean, maybe Boris has had such a bad year that he'll take that name out of circulation as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know many Borises. But like even with Hitler, even his moustache got taken out of circulation.
Yeah.
Like no one's ever had that moustache again. That's how bad he was. Like his name, what he looks like.
Yeah.
And it's like, if it's something you really hate, maybe you could try.
I mean, this is another kind of idea that I've had that I guess could tie into that. And it's about the fact that I'm really quite impressed is probably the wrong word, but I'm quite into people who are sort of really bad. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, if I'm meeting somebody for the first time and everybody has told me that they are a terrible person, they're a complete asshole, they're rude, they're arrogant, they're just nasty, and I'm meeting them for the first time, I get quite excited about that. I get quite excited around people who are universally hated.
You want to experience it yourself, like you want to see it in action.
I even want to experience it. Or what I really like is when I meet those people and they're lovely. And I love that because I think I know what you're really like.
Oh, so you can tell they're faking because of what you've heard before.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that in our industry where you get a lot of like big egos.
Mm.
And a lot of people that are kind of not very well liked. And I love meeting those people because I feel like...
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you're always nice to me and it's the same thing.
Like,
I know what everyone says about you, but you're nice to me. So I think, you know, I'm not going to judge you by that. And I get quite excited.
I'm just quite interested in like... psycho. I just get quite...
You pause then for a second. Are you still with me? You there?
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
So what you say, psychos?
Yeah, I'm quite into psychos. And I think it's like a kind of a universal thing at the moment because everyone's obsessed with like Netflix shows about serial killers. And
are you attracted to like women like that as well? Like, are you attracted to the women with more drama than...
No, not really. No.
No.
No, I wouldn't say so. But I think a lot of women are attracted to psycho men.
Yeah. So you're... Yeah, that's true. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe you've got the same thing.
It's basically... I mean, it could get put into a bigger idea about the fact that I'm not that fussed about people being nice. It could be... I think that somebody being described as nice is actually like a bit of an insult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I wouldn't want someone to say, "Oh, he's nice." I'm not sure I'd want to be described as nice.
Mm.
I don't think it's actually a great thing. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, yeah. So this is just a broad idea. Have you actually said this on stage yet as an idea?
No, this is just an idea. But I feel like it could be a bigger routine about the fact that I don't want to be nice and I don't like nice people. That could be like a bigger bit and then all this stuff gets put into the middle.
Have you ever had examples where you've not been nice on purpose? Like, have you ever tried... Because like when you're at school and you sort of hear that the girls like the bad boys, like have you ever tried to sort of play up to it just to try and... get their attention?
Because
you could draw on things like that
that's funny, isn't it,
as offshots structure wise And like,
yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any examples of that, but I probably did. I probably, if I thought about it for a while, I could probably think of some examples.
Because it's a classic treat them mean, keep them keen, isn't it? And that's what you have, the exact same thing with other men.
That's how I feel about other men.
You want other men to treat you mean, you prick.
It's just a weird. See, I instantly like you a lot more now. You've just called me a prick. I don't know. I mean, it might not sort of suit my on-stage persona to talk about that, because I'm quite kind of happy-go-lucky and relaxed.
But then you could use that, couldn't you? Because you could say, you know, you probably say I'm sort of, people say I'm happy-go, not people say, but you get an angle of, you know, I'm quite chilled out, I'm quite a nice guy, I was brought up well. But it's annoying. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the cool guy that everyone's a bit wary of. Do you know what I mean? And then you could get into it at that angle, because then...
Yeah.
Because then you're not losing who you are, and they still know you are who you are. But then you get...
I just find it quite... I mean, me and you both know people in our industry who are like, everybody thinks they're a fucking monster. And every gig you go to, people exchange stories this person being a fucking monster. And I am just really fascinated by the fact that that guy who is the monster... Mm. Is living his life probably completely oblivious to the fact that everyone thinks he's a fucking monster. And there's something about that I really respect and I really like.
For me, if that person messaged me saying, can I get a lift to a gig? I'd instantly say no and think of an excuse. Whereas I feel like you'd message him going, can I take you to a gig? I'm not even booked. I'll sort it. Don't worry. We'll go.
That's true, yeah. That's true.
That's a funny idea. I mean, obviously, it needs a bit more to it, like, but I feel like that's a nice topic. So I babysat my nephew, and this is a thing I've had for ages. So basically, I babysat my nephew, and his mum said there's to be no television after 8. So once he went to bed, I was so bored.
Good.
So you get the idea? That has had so many different versions. So
does that work?
No. Not really. I don't think. I mean, this is a fresh version of it that I haven't been able to do in a live gig. So I don't know if it'll work or not. But I just really like the idea that I've taken it that I'm not allowed to do those things. Like originally I think it was like this to be no sweets, no TV, no something else. And then I said, so once I went to bed, I don't think I've ever said once I went to bed, I was so bored. So that actually wording might maybe make it work. Because you did laugh. I was watching whether you got it. It took you a second. So maybe
I think that's, I can't see how that wouldn't work.
Is it too unbelievable that, I mean, I do silly jokes, so people, they should know what they're getting. I don't know.
Maybe it's not a big enough punch.
Yeah, I was so bored. It's like, yeah, I feel like there must be, that's why I've kept it around, because I think the idea is there. I feel like there is a way of, because what do people say? They do say that, don't they? There's been no television. Or could I, if I go, okay, bedtime's at 9, and then maybe I go to bed as well. Like, is that, maybe that's a better joke, because then there's, but I wasn't even tired.
Yeah, maybe just before they're leaving, they say, so bedtime's 9.
Which, so they said, right, it's bedtime's at 9 o'clock, which was, you know, a bit annoying because I wasn't even tired. Maybe that's funnier. That's simpler, isn't it? That's, sometimes I overcomplicate jokes.
Maybe that's a bigger punch than no TV. Yeah.
So maybe I could say, because would it be, I don't know if I'd be able to manoeuvre it, but it'd be funny if I've gone to bed and the kids are still up.
Yeah.
I've just taken it as it's my bedtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's bedtime at 9. So I've gone, oh, okay. I went to bed. Because you get two jokes out of that, couldn't you? Because you could say, yeah, but I wasn't even tired. Anyway, I did. I
wasn't even tired.
But it's hard to get asleep with all the kids running around making noise or something. I feel like there's something in that.
Yeah, that is good. That's a very you idea as well. Yeah. If I thought of that, I would immediately give that to you because that's a very you idea.
I think I've had that almost since. Well, I probably wrote that when my nephews were born. So that's 9 years ago. I probably had that joke in my notepad for that long.
What? And never, 9 years?
And never been able to get it work. I'm not saying I try it every gig and it doesn't work, but like I'll come back to it every so often.
I've tried it every gig for the last 9 years.
Because there was another... What was...
Do you know what I need to do? You're thinking, talking of that, I need to go back and find all my old notes from when I was like 19, 20, because I reckon there's some stuff in there that at the time I was not good enough to do anything with. Mm.
Yeah, 100%.
And I probably could do now.
You should do that. I mean, you know, arguably you could have brought that to this podcast.
Well, I could have done, but it's not.
I could do another one.
It's at my parents' house.
Yeah. That's always a good idea to do that, to go through stuff.
Yeah.
There's another one I had from back then that's just put all the joke police on their way. What was it? It was something to do with my girlfriend wouldn't. So my girlfriend, we argued so much that she stopped talking to me. She won't talk to me at all. We only communicate through our housemate Dave.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so you know, she wouldn't talk to me at the dinner table. She wouldn't talk to me somewhere else. The sex was awkward. So that was the first. So the first joke is we're having sex when we're not talking to each other, but we're still having sex. And I don't even know if that's a joke. I mean, that was when I first started comedy. I thought of that.
Dave involved in the sex?
Well, this is the tag. I go, the sex was awkward, laugh, because Dave was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Giving me instructions. He's like saying harder or something. You could try and get another tag that he's involved in it as well. More so. So, because originally it was just, he was just sitting there in this room. I think that's quite a nice visual. He's just sitting there passing on the, she wants you to do it slower. Do you know what I mean? But I don't even know if the first bit's funny. Because to me, back then, just...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is it funny that we're not talking to each other, but we're still having sex? I don't know if it is.
Well, yeah, but I think at the same time, but the other thing I would say is that I think a lot of couples don't talk when they have sex anyway, do they?
Oh, wow.
I'm sure.
So boring sex.
Am I revealing too much about myself?
Oh, yeah, shut up, mate. I just can't believe
this. This is quite funny. I've just thought of this. This is something I tried a couple of years ago. And it worked, but I never took it anywhere else. But I think it could be a story. Is that a couple of years ago, you just reminded me with your sex chat. I went through this phase of like 2 or 3 months of having some I don't want to get... I keep forgetting that we are recording this for podcast. But I went through a small two-month phase where I was having some pain in my penis. Okay?
Ooh. Yeah.
So tell I had to go and have it checked out, and it was all fine. But for a couple of months, it was a little bit sore down there.
What sort of sore?
So, well, when I don't want to tell you...
When you pee?
Yeah, like, yeah, it was right. Just a bit sore, yeah. Oh. So I called the GP. I called the doctors to make an appointment to see the doctor, and the receptionist answered the phone. And I said, I'm a registered patient. I'd like to see the doctor. And she said, what's your name? And I gave her my name. She said, what's your date of birth? Did that. And then she said, what's the problem? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was going to have to tell you. I thought I could just wait to the doctor. And she went, oh no, we just need to work out how serious it is. So if you just tell me what it is, and then I'll tell the doctor. And I didn't feel comfortable saying to the receptionist, I've got a pain in my cock.
I mean, I'd like to think that you'd say penis.
I wouldn't have phrased it like that.
Imagine.
But I said to her on the phone, oh, it's just my leg. I've got this, my knee hurts when I run.
That's how big your cock is.
I've just got this thing in my knee.
You keep kneeing your cock as you're running. That's why it hurts.
So when I then went in to see the doctor, he had written down that I had a problem with my knee, and when I got into the room, I bottled it, and I decided not to tell him about the pain in my
really
penis. So I just had like a 30-minute chat with him about this non-existent pain in my knee. And then he prescribed me painkillers for my knee, which I then bought.
Did you take
and it? then had to go back 3 months later to have the actual chat about it.
Did you ask, how did you get around that? So you know what, for a second I forgot this was material. I was just like, oh right, that's interesting. So is that all happened verbatim?
That's true, yeah.
So when you yeah. and you tried that, did you? Did you just tell the story?
Well, I remember doing that once on stage at a New Material gig a couple of years ago. And it was one of those things where like people were quite interested in the story. Because I think anytime anyone talks about something embarrassing happening at the doctor's, yeah. people are interested. So I feel like if I was to embellish that, because I used to do this quite big routine about going to the doctor's and being told I had gout.
Oh, yeah.
And it was quite a big thing for me. And people seemed to really like that I was being really brutally honest about medical things. So I think that always goes down well when you're really honest about medical problems.
And if it's doing your penis, then it's, you can't really go wrong.
But there's definitely something funny in the receptionist making me tell her what the problem is.
Yeah, yeah, that's... I wonder how many times that has happened where you don't... So you didn't even feel comfortable enough to go, that's what happened. The real problems with me.
Well, no, because when I got in there, he said, oh, Mr. Lucy, I gather there's a problem with your knee. And then he immediately went, let's have a look at it. Put your leg up here. Because he was obviously in a
just
rush.
Just imagine you'd forgotten that it was about the knee. And he went, let's have a look at it.
I just got my cap
and you just got, yeah, that's funny. Like, all he thinks is, let's have a look at your knee. But he doesn't say knee, right? Okay, I'll have a look at your notes, right? This is okay. Let's have a look at the problem, and you just whip your cock out.
Yeah, that's funny that I've forgotten that I told her that on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and he goes, you can make the doctor a woman. I don't know if that helps, or actually, I don't know whether that makes, because my argument would be that would be more embarrassing if it's a woman, but also maybe it's a bit creepier. So I don't know which way that would. How that would affect the joke.
No, I think it'd be funny if I walk in and he goes, so I gather you've got a pain, let's have a look at it, and I just immediately get my cock out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Phone's going. I mean, that's pretty much it, mate. We've done the time. Is anything else you wanted to do? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, not really. I can have a...
No, that's...
If you give me a couple more weeks, I'll do some more writing and we can do it again.
Tom Lucy!
Hashtag Awooga. Tom Lucia. Good stuff. If you enjoyed that, and if you didn't, any feedback at Jokes with Mark across all social media, let us know what you think. Any ideas, let us know. This week, normally we would have a bonus Patreon episode of Tom Lucy, but there were a couple of internet issues. So we've cut out all that rubbish and stuck the good bit in.
And we're just uploading that as the Patreon special.
Yeah, no, but we've got a special Patreon special, which is going to be me doing the podcast with Joel, who, as everybody knows, used to be a professional stand-up comedian.
I was a professional stand-up comedian in the way that they're professional wrestlers.
That doesn't make sense, Joel, because professional wrestlers is a thing.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and you can see why I gave it up.
Well, we'll find out, won't we, on the Patreon? Because maybe I'll be able to convince you to take it up again.
Maybe.
I'm excited. We haven't recorded it yet. We're about to. So, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be on the Patreon. So go check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother. I don't know why I said that. Joel, I think that's got a bit. That's it, is it?
I think that's it.
Is it? Any more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mike. Nothing more from you, Mark.
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Uber, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.